folks, this is Pastor Mike Hoggard coming to you from Studio 2012 with another Watchman video broadcast, and we are watching what is going on in the world. Everybody right now is talking about the senseless, crazy murder that took place in a movie theater in Colorado. And I've heard a lot of things about this, and I'm going to talk about it. But I'm going to talk about it from the direction of what the Scripture says. And I want to kind of lay this out to you. And I like to do this. If you've watched me before, I like to do this. I always like to contrast things because the Bible contrasts. It does. Let me just get my stack of former friends over here. There's some people out there that think I'm still hooked in with these people, and I'm not. But anyway, my former associates would be the New King James Bible, the NIV, Morals and Dogma, which I bought at a used bookstore, Marilyn Ferguson's The Inquiring Conspiracy, and so on. What else have I got over here? I never was a Mormon. I was never a Jehovah's Witness. I was never a Seventh-day Adventist. And I've never been a New Ager, but I wanted to be a warlock. So I guess that would count. Anyway, here's all my former associates, okay? Oh, let's throw Dan Brown in here, too. Lost symbol. These are all my former associates. This is my new friend. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. And I want to show you the contrast of spirits, because the Bible's full of contrast. Light and darkness, day and night, male and female, heavens and earth, or heaven and hell, God and Satan, the Antichrist and Christ. In fact, let's stop right there. Here we have the Spirit of Christ, and here we have the Spirit of Antichrist. And if you notice that he's like different in every way that he's associated, he's different in all these different things. But Christ, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's my point. We have two spirits that kind of deal with what's going on in this world. There is the Spirit of life, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I came to give you life and that more abundantly. But then he described another one for us. He talks about the devil, who is a thief. And he says, the thief cometh only but to kill and destroy, to steal and destroy. I want to get this right. Okay? So he says of the devil that he's a thief, that he steals things and he destroys things. That's his spirit. That's what all these guys represent here. They represent a spirit that brings death, and I'll say this, murdering death, the death of innocent people. Let me illustrate it like this, the way the Apostle Paul referred to it. I'm going to rightly divide my Bible here, and I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to contrast how the Bible contrasts itself. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. This is the law. This is the Old Testament. He said, the law killeth. But the Spirit of Christ in the New Testament brings life. And so there's two spirits that a person can choose to live by, a person can choose to follow, or two spirits that a person can choose to be controlled by. I choose, and I hope that you choose, the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, that gives life, that indwells in the believer of the Scriptures, and the Holy Ghost teaches us things, and it shows us things, and it leads us, and it guides us, and it comforts us. And the Holy Spirit of God is how God interacts with us through the pages of the Bible, through the Spirit that lives in us. And the Holy Ghost will say, now do this. And we go, you know what, I think I'm going to do this, and I think God wants me to do that. That's how this works. And it always brings about not only life here on this earth, but it brings about eternal life. Whereas this Spirit here just kills and kills and kills and kills. And everybody that followed after this Spirit died, because no one can keep the law, and so no one lives. So anyway, here's a spirit that gives life and a spirit that causes murder. And I want you to understand this, because, and I'm going to read a story here. In fact, I'm going to put it up on the screen. Holmes Gun Club membership rejected over, quote, bizarre behavior. The suspect in the Colorado shooting rampage displayed behavior that a gun range owner thought was, quote, bizarre. But it is still unclear if anyone at the university where he studied had any hint of his plans. Police said James Holmes began buying guns at Denver area stores nearly 2 months before Friday's shooting. He also received at least 50 packages in 4 months at his home and at the University of Colorado that authorities are investigating to see whether they contained materials for the potentially deadly booby traps that police found in his apartment. At the same time, the quiet 24-year-old was in the final weeks of the first year of rigorous PhD neuroscience program, where he took a three-part final exam required for students to progress in the program and was scheduled to give a presentation on microRNA biomarkers before abruptly leaving in June. Now, I want you to focus on, and all this is just general background, this guy was no idiot. He was working on a PhD program, from what I see here, in microRNA biomarkers. He was dealing with things that had to deal with DNA. He was smart. The guy knew something, but something happened. Something happened to him. Now, before I read this next part, immediately after the shooting, stuff started flying all over the internet. Stuff like, this was pre-planned. This was he was a programmed agent. He was part of MKUltra. And if you don't know what that is, CIA did run a program called MKUltra, and the CIA has, you know, these are the spooks. These guys have all these programs where they do psychic readings and all the stuff that the devil's involved in. So this kind of talk I'm used to, okay? So people are saying he was MKUltra, he was mind-controlled, he was the Manchurian candidate, this and that and the other. And these stories fly around the internet. And I understand that. There was even people talking about the fact that he took pharmaceutical drugs, and it was Big Pharma that mind-controlled him and that did bad things to his mind. Well, I will tell you, having dealt with people who have taken drugs and alcohol over their life, that it does kind of mess with your brain a little bit. But I also know a lot of people who have taken prescription medications all their life, and they've never had the tendency to walk into a movie theater dressed up, okay, and kill a dozen people and wound, 58 others, okay? So it's still not normal for this to happen. So we have to ask the question, was it the CIA? Was it the New World Order? Because we know, and I'm going to deal with this, because we know that there is going to be a treaty signed here shortly, giving authority over our guns to the United Nations. I don't like that. That's a bad idea, and I'm going to deal with that. That's kind of where we're going with this. Was it set up by the New World Order? Possibly, if we get our ideas on the New World Order straight from the scriptures, okay? Nobody that I know of, nobody that I am aware of and know of right now was ever with this Holmes guy at a CIA meeting where he was being mind controlled. No one's come forward and say, man, I saw this guy in the same cell as me, okay? We don't have that information. And so the people that are writing this stuff on the internet, they're going, hey, maybe it was MKUltra. Maybe it was a mind control. Maybe it was this. They don't know. They don't know. We're just guessing. And I understand those who study Bible prophecy, those who are of a conspiracy minded, like me, we tend to jump on those things. And then all of a sudden now, that must have been what has happened. Let's not forget the spiritual aspect of everything that we call a conspiracy. See, it's got the word spirit in it. A conspiracy. We need to understand and remember the spiritual nature of this. And here's why I'm saying this. I want to read the second part of this. This is what the gun range that he applied for membership in, I guess so he could practice loading and reloading, things like that. He applied for membership there, and this is why they turned him down. Listen to this. The owner of the gun range told the AP that Holmes applied to join the club last month but never became a member because of his behavior and a, quote, bizarre message on his voicemail. He emailed an application to join the Lead Valley range in Byers on June 25th in which he said he was not a user of illegal drugs. Well, that's good. He was not a convicted felon, said owner Glenn Rotkovich. When Rotkovich called to invite him to a mandatory orientation the following week, he said he heard a message on Holmes' voicemail that was, quote, bizarre, guttural, freakish at best. Okay, now, I'm no expert on demon-possessed people. I haven't dealt with a lot of that. I know others that have. But when you start talking about the bizarre behavior, guttural, freakish, Let's go back to a guy named Jared Loughner. You remember that guy, okay, who shoots the congressman and a bunch of other people out in public in front of a Safeway. Okay, let's remember this guy. He was characterized as somebody who wasn't dealing with a full deck of cards. There was something wrong up here. He made, if I remember right, he made a YouTube video, and he was just acting a little strange. There was something wrong with this guy. We could attribute that to mental disorder, mental disease, or something like that. In fact, you know, he's probably going to live a good life because he's got a mental disorder. John Hinckley Jr. comes to mind. But anyway, what else? What else can cause this kind of behavior? If you remember, Jared Loughner was deep into this real nasty, heavy metal, rock and roll music. He had some of his favorite bands, and these guys were referred to as death metal groups. I don't know if that was the way with Holmes, but everybody so far that's talked about Holmes has mentioned the fact that, like, in the last 4 months, man, there's something weird with this guy. Something has happened. And I think that we need to seriously consider the prospect of possession by a devil. Does this happen? Yes, it does. The scripture is full of these things. We have Judas Iscariot. Satan himself entered into Judas Iscariot. Now, I want you to think in this direction. Judas Iscariot is the only guy in the whole Bible that Jesus called the son of perdition. Well, see, that name is reserved for the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians 2. And so Judas Iscariot is playing a part. He's playing the part of a murderer. Satan himself entered into Judas Iscariot, and then Judas, and as soon as that happened, Jesus knew it. Because Jesus can like see devils. Okay? In fact, I'm gonna show you an illustration of that here in a second. And when as soon as that happened, Jesus looked at Judas and said, "Whatsoever thou doest, do quickly." He knew he was fixing to get it from Judas. Judas had Jesus murdered. Let me tell you the difference. Let me tell you what murder is. Murder is the killing of an innocent person. Murder is the killing of someone that we're not. This is not revenge. Okay, this was not an act of war. This was not terrorism or anything like that. This was just cold, hard murder. Murder is the killing of someone innocently. Murder is the killing of taking of someone's life without due process of law. And yes, I believe in capital punishment because capital punishment is given to us in the scriptures as God's remedy in society for dealing with certain crimes. I believe in it. I think we ought to be doing it a whole lot better than what we're doing it. Do I believe in grace? Absolutely. Absolutely. But here's my point. That's what murder is. And this guy, Holmes, goes in and he murders all these people. For what reason? He wasn't mad at him. He wasn't mad because they got his seat. He wasn't mad because they took his popcorn, because they wouldn't shut up during the movie, or they said, "Man, I've already seen this, and let me tell you how." He wasn't anything like that. He did a premeditated at least 4 months in advance. And if we believe some of the stories on the internet, he came out a day ahead of time on some kind of weird blog and actually said, "I'm going to go kill me some people tomorrow night at the Batman movie." Somebody should have been watching for this guy. Something happened. MK Ultra, mind control. Was he on pharmaceutical drugs that the government gave him to take over? I don't know. Okay, was there actually two killers in there? We don't know. What we do know is that we have a guy that, from the outside, exhibits the behavior of someone who has a devil. And I mentioned a while ago, Jesus can see. He can see these guys. He knows who they are. Okay? Let me give an example. Matthew chapter 16. A guy actually called me yesterday and reminded me of this, and I appreciate it. I told him I'd use it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. It made sense. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed." There it is. "And be killed." That's murder. "And be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him, began to rebuke him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.' But he turned and said unto Peter, 'Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.'" Now, when you look at this verse, Jesus, I mean, here's Peter talking. Jesus turns around and he looks at Peter and he says to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I think Jesus saw Satan there. I think he knew he was standing there. Satan knows how to work and play into our emotions. But I also believe from the scriptures that there are people who are absolutely, totally controlled by satanic or devil spirits. We have all those accounts all through, especially the New Testament. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus delivered people from possession of devils. There was the guy at the Gadarenes who had legion, for we are many. I mean, he didn't have one. He had a whole bunch of them, a legion. A legion, if we are going to believe the literalness of Scripture, what are we dealing with? Like 12,000 different devils in this guy? Could very well be. I mean, he had a bunch of them. But at the name of Jesus, they all left because they have to obey Christ. But the idea is that it's highly, highly possible. In fact, I believe the Bible is giving us an answer to what is going on here. This guy had a devil. Now, I know people that have been missionaries in different places, in Brazil and third world countries, places like that, and they'll say, oh, yeah, the devil. Yeah, he had a devil. We see it all the time. We see it, you know, everywhere we go. It's more subtle in America. We're not used to seeing that kind of witchcraft or sorcery or those kind of spirits in American people. I think they're still there. They're just more subtle. They know they have to keep hid out a lot of times until they just bust loose and cause something like this to happen, like Jared Loughner and some of these others. Okay? And so my thinking here is that does it still accomplish a purpose that furthers the goal of the plan of Lucifer? And I think it does. And I'm just going to kind of walk in that direction today, okay? Let's look at some scriptures. Let's get an idea of what this spirit is all about. Numbers chapter 35, verse 16. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. I want you to notice it's an instrument of iron, okay? That's a gun. Okay, a gun is an instrument of iron. And so he's talking about murderer here. And by the way, here it is, okay, according to the, if we were going to go by the scriptures in this country, this guy should get the death penalty. That's what it should be a no-brainer. He should automatically, instantaneously get the death penalty. That's what the Bible's talking about. Job chapter 24, the murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. Remember, the devil is a thief. And the thief cometh but to kill and to destroy. That's his job. The devil is the ultimate murderer here. Psalm chapter 10, verse 4. Notice how the Bible is going to describe for you the wicked. And let me help you with this one too. Okay? And I've said this many times. There are people out there who are watching the New World Order. And they're against it. I'm against the New World Order. Okay? The problem is, they're in the New World Order. How can we know that? There are two types of people in this world. There are people who are led by this. And there are people who are led by any one of the... Oh, let's see here. Let's get out our Book of Mormon. Presidential candidate Mitt Romney. Which spirit leads him? This one or this one? It's this one. And this is just another version of quantum spirituality, the great controversy, the Aquarian conspiracy, morals and dogma. It's all the same God behind it. See, all these robes do lead to the same God, don't they? It's just not this one. Okay? And so they're all of the same idea and the same spirit. And so while you may be sitting there watching me and you kind of like what I'm saying, you're the one I'm talking to. Because you do not genuinely have the born again spirit, the Holy Ghost of God indwelling in you. And you have believed all the stupid websites that said, yeah, the King James Bible is a Masonic handbook. Yeah, I'm not going to read it. All the Bibles are corrupt. Maybe even a guy on our YouTube channel is writing that he's telling everybody that the Bible is the mark of the beast. And that he actually, if you just follow him, he's got the real truth. Yeah. Whew. He's one of these guys. Okay? If you're sitting there and you're watching me, and you are not for this Bible, and read this Bible and study this Bible, meditate on this Bible and think the way this Bible thinks and pray to God and have the forgiveness of your sins and the born again spirit and a new nature in you. If you're not absolutely convinced by the Word of God that you're going to go to heaven when you die, you're on this side. You're not on the same side. You are following a different spirit, which in your mind you cannot conceive of any other way other than for the MK Ultra or the mind control program or Big Pharma. And that's why you come up with all this stuff here, because you don't have the same spirit as what's in this book. Okay, you're the one I'm talking to today. Okay? So if you're, and by the way, it starts out here, Psalm chapter 10, verse 4, it says, the wicked. Well, that would be you. Because while you're against everything in the New World Order, and you're against big government, and you're against Big Pharma, and you're against chemtrails, and you're against HARP, and you're against presidential candidates, and you're against secret societies, and you're against all these things, you have a wicked streak in you a mile long. You're a worthless, rotten, filthy, nasty, bound for hell sinner is what you are. Which is also what I am. But my sins have been forgiven. You need that. You really, really need that. Because if you don't get that, you're not going to be with this. You're going to be with these guys. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, and I'm going to stop right here. If you're mad at me now, it's because of your pride. You don't like what I just said. You're too proud to admit it, that you're a wicked lowlife and that you deserve hell. But you think hell is only reserved for the people in the New World Order. Well, that would be you. Okay? The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. I'm talking to you now. God is not in all his thoughts. That's you. His ways are always grievous. That's you. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. I'll never let the New World Order reign over me. See, that's you. Now look in verse 7. His mouth is full of cursing. There are people on our, we have a couple different YouTube channels, we're all over the place, who will leave comments on there, and they will actually call me like an antichrist and a wolf and a false prophet and everything, every name under the sun, and curse doing it. That's what they do. Your mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. There's the spirit right there. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. Can you think of the character in the Bible that is a lion? He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. So see here, the same spirit that walks into a movie theater and shoots 70 people and actually would have killed more, but something, his gun jammed. Okay. You've got that spirit. Okay. Could have just as easily been you. When you dedicate your life against this book, that's what you've got the potential of. And I'm going to show you that. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21. How is a faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. You know what the faithful city was in the old, you know what he's talking about here? He's talking about Jerusalem. Jerusalem used to be the faithful city. Hey, how about America? America used to be faithful to the laws and the covenants of God. But we walked away from them. Now we turn into a little harlot nation. And we are full of murderers. Just like any third world country. We got devil-possessed people shooting people right and left. Hosea chapter 9, verse 12. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place. But Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Can I add this too without, I don't care if I rattle any chains or anything like that. America is a murderous nation. When we kill 80 million humans by abortion, there's something wrong with that. Okay? We're shocked and dismayed at a guy going into a movie theater and killing 12 people. And it makes big news all over the earth. Okay? How many babies died that same day in abortion mills all over this country? How many of them? I guarantee you it was more than 12. I guarantee you. And yet we put that in the realm of, well, that's just political talk. And really, I don't, I believe in a woman's right to choose and all that. You filthy murderer, you. You know what Romans 1, chapter 1 says? Not only are those who commit murder are going to have blood on their hands. Romans chapter 1 says, they that have pleasure in them that do them. That's you. You see, abortion is just taking an innocent life, just like a guy going into a movie theater and shooting people eating popcorn. They weren't doing anything wrong. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. Now, let me stop right here. Before I get to the rest of it, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had evil thoughts? Sure you have. Sure you have. You probably have one right now watching me, okay? You have evil thoughts. You've had evil thoughts about your neighbor, about your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's husband, or maybe even your neighbor's children. You've had evil thoughts, okay? And you didn't learn those evil thoughts. They've always been there, always. I remember the first time my daughter lied to me. She was just that tall, okay? And she lied to us because she didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't teach her that. Her mom didn't teach her that. She didn't read books on how to lie. She wasn't hanging around liars, and she wasn't watching the lying show on TV. She knew how to, it was already in her. And you've got it already in you. You've already got it in you. This is proceeding from your heart. And the devil, the spirit of murder, gets involved with this stuff right here and says, let's work on this a little bit. What are your spiritual gifts? What are you good at? Okay. Are you good at lying? Let's lie to everybody. Okay. That's that spirit. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries. I bet you got that one in there. Fornications. Yep. You got that one there. Thefts, false witness, blasphemies. See, you got more than, he's talking about? He's talking about the heart of man. He's not talking about the evil people in the New World Order. He's talking about you and me. We have this stuff in us. And you and I could very easily become any one of these. In fact, probably already have. Because it's already in us. John chapter 8, verse 44. Listen to how Jesus talks. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You ever lied? You ever told a lie? You ever said anything that wasn't true? Then your father, the devil, passed that on to you. It's all started in the Garden of Eden with his words. Okay? And he tempted Eve and she partook. And so did Adam, and you and I are born sinners. We don't just become bad people because of MK Ultra. There are spirits out there that are diving into the very core of what human beings are, which are bad people, and taking over those who allow themselves to be taken over. And I think that's this Holmes guy. Your father the devil, unless your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now let's go back to the beginning. Okay, let's go back to that story. We have Genesis chapter 1, the creation, Genesis chapter 2, the marriage, Genesis chapter 3, sin is given into the world. Lust was conceived and it brought forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's what the book of James says. Now, when we apply that, we see lust coming in because Eve was going, boy, that does look good. That fruit. Oh, wow.
Oh, I'd like to have me some of that. And so she eats the fruit, gives it to her husband, and now sin has been conceived. And then when sin is finished, in the very next chapter, Genesis chapter 4, it brought forth death. And let me clear your theology up just a little bit, okay? Because I have encountered, and I've studied it out. I mean, I study everything. I want to know what the truth is. And I hear all the ideas about the seed of Satan and all this stuff. And this, the seed of Satan is the Illuminati. It's got to be. Okay? Let me go back to this so we can understand from what the Bible says and not what David Icke says or any of these other. By the way, don't listen to David Icke. Okay? Back to Matthew 15 again. Here's what you have in your heart. You have evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Jesus said in John 8:44, it's because you are of your father the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. That's because that's what's in us. It's almost like, and I don't know exactly how to put it, but it's almost like the devil conceived in Eve's mind with his words. There are people running around saying, yeah, the devil had sex with Eve, and that's with Cain, and that they still exist. And the Bible does not say that. It does not say, no, it doesn't say that. Not this one. Some guy rewrites it and makes it say it. That's not what this says. Okay? You are of your father, the devil. See, you were born into this world, and a spiritual birth took place going all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And now, and I'm just going by here, the 46 words that the devil spoke to Eve in Genesis chapter 3 and the 46 chromosomes and how our DNA looks like snakes wrapped around each other. I mean, shouldn't that tell you that we're crooked in our very DNA? There's something wrong with us. We're the ones who are our father, the devil. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Why? Because this is nasty, it's corrupt, it's from our father, the devil. And we have the same lust that he has. I got the same stuff in me that my dad had, and my mom has. And his dad had, and his dad had, and so on and so on. That's why I had to be born again. Because this flesh is not intended to inherit the kingdom of God. And as long as this flesh is alive, the devil can use and manipulate what's on the inside of me. You get where I'm going with this? Okay, you're probably not liking it because it doesn't float your pet conspiracy theories. But I'm just giving you straight out the Word of God, of what this says. Okay, and I want to believe in all the MK Ultra, and I believe it exists. But I think there's something a whole lot more simple and a whole lot more tangible to what we see going on in this world that you can see in this Bible. Okay? So let me straighten your theology out a little bit. Okay? Because there are people out there saying, Cain, see, the devil slipped in at night and he had sex with Eve. And that's where Cain came from. Now, Abel came from Adam, and we know that. But that Cain came from you know who, the devil. Okay? Well, let's read this. And Adam knew his wife Eve. We all know what that is. And she conceived. I don't see the devil in here anywhere. Okay? Adam knew his wife, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. See how simple that is? I just believe what that says. And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She didn't get it from the devil. Okay? But because sin had already entered into the world through Adam and through Eve, now Cain has inherited from his father and his mother through the devil. He's inherited this, you can call it bad blood. Okay? By the way, Abel was a sinner too. Okay? That's why he's offering sacrifices. I mean, you just examine the scripture, and that's what it is. Okay, but let's look at what happened, because we all know Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. That word slew means slay, a slayer. Abel was slain; he was dead. Okay, what you think about that? Because I'm going to talk about it here in a minute. And for no reason. Abel was just sitting in the movie theater eating popcorn, and Cain killed him, took his life from him, is what happened. Okay? And so we know that Cain was expelled. He was given a mark. I don't really know what that means yet. I'm still studying. And God had promised him that anybody who kills you, I will avenge him seven times. Then we have Cain, and he has, I think, Enoch, and we have the lineage of Cain. It goes all the way down to Lamech. And now this is interesting. Lamech is the seventh from Adam. Just like on the other side of the line from Seth, we have Enoch, who is the seventh from Adam. And we know that, and I like this, we know that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In other words, Enoch, being the seventh from Adam, never died. He left this earth and went straight to heaven without seeing death. Here we have Lamech, however, who has inherited from his daddy a genetic structure that's predisposed to evil thoughts, fornication, adultery, blasphemies, false witnessing, boasting, and murder. So in Genesis chapter 4, verse 23, Lamech said unto his wives Ada and Zillah, "Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt." Lamech is a murderer. And then he says, "If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold." You hear the pride in his voice? But then he introduces an interesting number in the Bible, and that's the number 77. It's a number that I'm still studying. But I want to show you some things that we had talked about when we dealt with the guy in Norway. We're going to talk about him here in a minute. Okay? Can't remember his name. I'll remember it when I see it. Some foreign name to me. But this number shows up on some pretty significant murdering events. Okay? And I'm just going to kind of run through the scripture where this number shows up and kind of in the direction of what we were talking about originally with Judas Iscariot and Satan entering into him, doing what? Killing Jesus. Nagasaki, Japan. This is the bomber called Boxcar. And it carried, I think it was the Fat Man. There was two atomic bombs, one called Fat Man, one Little Boy. I think Little Boy was dropped on Hiroshima and Fat Man on Nagasaki. I may have it wrong, but I think if I remember my history right. The call sign of this particular aircraft was 77. And yeah, it murdered a lot of people. It's America. JFK, do you know where his car was headed to when he was murdered? In Dealey Plaza, it was headed to Highway 77. You know where Highway 77 comes from when it gets to Dallas? It comes from, look at there, it comes from Waco, Texas. Okay, Branch Davidian compound. Here again, our own government, let me stop right here, okay? It was our government killed all these people in Nagasaki, and yeah, I think I'm with you on this one. I think it was elements of our own government that had this president, John F. Kennedy, killed. Okay, on his way to Highway 77. And yeah, it was our own government that killed all these people in the Branch Davidian compound. Then we go from Waco to Dallas to Oklahoma City and the Alfred P. Murrah building in a bomb or several. Because I still remember they run everybody off and said, "We found more bombs in the building. Get away." And then they come back and they say, "What? What bomb? We didn't bomb. Did bombs? Do you know any bombs? I don't know any bombs." Something ain't right about that. Okay? Highway 77. Okay? Pentagon was a murder. Somebody did it. Somebody pulled the trigger on this thing, an instrument of iron. Somebody did it. I don't think we know who yet. Okay, and here again, we have all these pet theories of this, that, and the other. Was it a plane? Was it a missile? Was it a train? I mean, we don't know. We don't know, but what we do know is the significance of it. There was a spirit behind this. Pentagon, 77 feet tall, exactly 77 feet tall. Okay, what supposed plane hit it? Flight 77. That's the one that hit it. Okay, And Washington, D.C. is at longitude 77. Okay, that's where it is. So there's a whole lot going on here. And notice that the Pentagon is a five-sided structure. Okay? When we go to the 77th chapter of the Bible, which is Exodus 27, thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. You have all of these fives here, and the altar of shittim. You know what shittim was? No, I'm not saying a nasty word. Shittim was a thorn tree. It's acacia. And that is a symbol of the Antichrist. That's his symbol there. Okay? So, with the Pentagon, you have the five-sided altar that's mentioned in the 77th chapter of the Bible. I think God's kind of telling you what's going on in the spiritual world. You have the London train bombings, July 7th, 2005, murdering innocent people. Mumbai, India, you have another terrorist attack on July 11th. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. That's the 11th. Hang on. July is the seventh month. 7 times 11 is 77. Okay? That happened. Had all these people dead laying everywhere. I even talked about a couple years ago, Dan Weldon, NASCAR driver, 33 years old. And see, this number 33 plays into this too in some cases. Dan Weldon, NASCAR driver, 33 years old. He's driving car 77 and may he rest in peace. And then we have the Norwegian guy. I still can't remember. I should have wrote his name down. I didn't. You remember him. Because there he is standing there in his Masonic regalia. And he goes on a murder. He just snaps, goes on a murdering spree, and kills 77 people. If you want to think that there are people in this world that have so much power and control over everything that goes on, including the number of people that die, and that's the limit of your conspiracy theory, it doesn't work. However, if you think that there are spirits involved, then it makes sense. And so all these 77s and this idea of murder, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 4 with the murder of Abel. By the way, the Bible does say that Cain was of that wicked one. But you and I are too, in our flesh. We are of that wicked one. We have the lust of our father in us. And so if you want to talk about the serpent seed, that's us. That is us. We don't like to admit it. We don't like to think of ourselves that way. Joel Osteen will never teach you that, nor will Oprah Winfrey. But that's who we are. That's why this flesh needs to be crucified. Jesus. Okay? In Luke chapter 3, it gives the lineage of Jesus. In verse 23, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, which was, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And then it gives his lineage all the way down to verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. If you go from God and count backwards all the way to Jesus, you get 77 names there. Isn't that cool? I like that. Okay? Because here it is. Here is them, killing, murdering the Son of God. You have Judas, the son of perdition himself, who has the spirit of the murderer in him, and he murders Jesus Christ. And you have to ask yourself, why did Judas murder Jesus? I mean, if you don't like the whole spirit thing, then you have to ask yourself, why did Judas just murder Jesus? Why did he do it? 30 pieces of silver? Well, he didn't spend it. He gave it up. Why did he do it? There was a spirit in him that worked in him and then worked through him to murder the 77th in line from God, Jesus Christ. Okay? Let me show you this scripturally. God will use the Bible to show us the spiritual realm. Because you and I can't see it, but Jesus goes, "Oh, hi Satan, get thee behind me." By the way, can I float this little idea? This has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, okay? But I talked the last week about astrology and the four cardinal directions and so on. And I kind of think this is how it was. And we know that Jesus was crucified on the north side of Jerusalem, okay? I think that Jesus' back was pointing toward the north because that's where Draco is. So he's on the cross and his back is toward the north, and Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So Draco's back here at his back. His face, which Matthew 17 says he's shining like the sun, is shining almost in a direct, if you draw a line from Jerusalem almost straight south, you end up at Jebel el-Laws in Saudi Arabia, which is the real Mount Sinai. Oh no, that's not the one in your map in the back of your Bible. They got it all wrong. The real Mount Sinai is in Jebel el-Laws in Arabia, because Paul said it was in Arabia. I trust Paul. And it's almost in a straight line south toward Mount Sinai. Jesus is shining the light of the truth upon the law. And then his arms are east and west. And God said, and they're pointing out this way. And God said, as far as this is from this, that's how far I've cast your sins away. I just think that's neat. Okay, I may be wrong, but I like that. Okay, anyway, let's deal with the murderer. Matthew chapter 21, verse 37. The Bible says, "But the last of all, he sent unto them his son." This is about a guy, a husbandman. Jesus is teaching in a parable. The husbandman is going to be God. Okay? And he gives his vineyard to these servants, okay, to these people. And he says, "Take care of this." That's Israel. And then he sends servants now to the people and say, "Okay, I let it out to you. You rented the land. And the cost of the rental is that I get a piece of your harvest. That's your payment to me." Okay, it's just honest business is what it is. And so, but they weren't going to give him anything. And so he sent these servants and they killed him. In verse 37, he said, "But the last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, and they said among themselves, this is the heir, let us kill him. And let us seize on his inheritance." And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. You see, they killed Jesus because they thought, the devils thought that they could get heaven if they killed Jesus. The problem is, Jesus died and he got better. He rose again on the third day. Acts chapter 3, verse 13. "The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just." And I want you to notice, I want to stop right here, because I always like to help people with their theology. Okay? I don't have any Jehovah's Witness books up here. Jehovah's Witness said Jesus was not God. That's stupid. Oh my goodness. Why would you say that? It's embarrassing. But he was. The Holy One. If you go all back through the Old Testament and find the Holy One, okay, it's Jesus. "You denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." We're going to talk about that. "And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." In other words, he's talking about what happened. He's talking about what happened on the day Christ was crucified. Who did Pilate give him a choice between? And Pilate was really trying to play politics on here. So he picked the nastiest, sorriest, filthy sponge head that he could find, brought him out, stood him up there and said, "Okay, do you want this guy or do you want Jesus, who's done nothing, by the way?" Okay? And so he's offering them the murderer. And I forgot to say something. Let me go back to this because this is really bothering me. All these 77s and all these murders that we see, you know, with the Norwegian guy and, you know, the Nagasaki and JFK and Waco and OKC and the Pentagon. All these 77s we see and all these famous murders that have taken place. Do you know that in that Colorado shooting, I don't see it. I mean, I looked. I don't see it anywhere. It's just not there. I mean, you can try to, well, you know, if you took this and this, it's just not, they weren't in Theater 77, okay? They weren't watching a movie called Batman 77. It just, it's not there. So what does that mean? It means that the spirit of the murderer was in this guy. It caused him to kill. Now, it still has an effect. There's still an agenda here, okay? Let me show you this agenda. There is one little thing about this that did kind of stand out to me, and I'm going to show you what it is here in a minute, okay? Mark chapter 15. I want you to look at the language of the King James Bible. I absolutely love this, okay? We know who, we talked about the spirits. Here's the spirit of Christ. This is all like the spirit of Antichrist here. Okay? Don't forget, presidential candidate. And this is life and this is the murderer. Okay? Where did they get Barabbas from? Was he like walking down the street and they go, "Hey, you! Come here!" No, that's not what they did. Look at what the King James Bible says. Mark chapter 15, verse 6. "Now at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with them, who had committed murder in the insurrection." Luke 23, verse 18. And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison." Where did they get Barabbas from? They got him out of prison. You say, "Oh, I don't get what you mean. Where's the beast right now? Where's the Antichrist? You know where he is? He's in prison. He's a murderer, and he's in prison. Guess who Barabbas is? He's the beast. He's the picture of the Antichrist. They pulled him out of prison and said, "Here's this guy, the murderer, and here's the one who's going to die for you. Here's the guy that took away your life. Here's the guy that wants to give it back to you. Who do you want?" And you say, "Yeah, that's them evil Jews for you." You have to remember that Pilate and all the Roman soldiers, they were all Gentiles. They chose the murderer. Okay? The spirit of the murderer. Now, we know that the beast is going to, and you're going to catch this as soon as I say it, he's going to rise up out of the prison. Oh, wow. I mean, just look at the poster, okay? The Dark Knight Rises. Now, I think I get it, okay? Because we are seeing enough, I don't know if you call it conditioning. It probably, I think it is. It's conditioning. It's getting us used to themes. It's getting humanity used to themes of educating the masses about the occult. Elise Bailey talked about that and said, we have to teach everybody the mystery religion. And they're doing it through movies, TV shows, comic books, movies. I already said movies, didn't I? Video games. They're doing it through the media. I mean, we're just flooded with themes and concepts, and you have been watching these things, and you get it. I have people write me and say, "Thanks a lot, Pastor Mike. I can't watch a movie now without going, 'Oh, I know what that symbol is. I know what that is.'" That's good. That's good, because if you can make the conscious awareness that you know what it is, it doesn't have an effect on you. It won't hurt you to, you know. I'm looking here at, where is she here? The New King James Bible with this triquetra. Okay. I know what it is. Marilyn Ferguson. Okay, same symbol, New Age movement. I know what it is. It doesn't have any effect on me. Don't bother me, because I know exactly what it is. And I see this thing, and I want you to notice on this poster here, The Dark Knight Rises. And I want you to notice it looks like the fire behind Batman here. And it's done this deliberately. This is the art department that made the fire look like a bird on fire. Where have we seen that before? It's the phoenix. Okay? And the phoenix is, according to this guy here, Albert Pike and Manly Hall and all these other, the phoenix is basically the beast. He's in the flames right now. He's going to rise up out of the flames one of these days. And he's got a crown. He's going to be the king. Okay? That's what that is. And then we look at Mr. Holmes again. Okay? And now, everybody's commenting about his appearance in court, okay? And everybody's going, "See, he's mind controlled. Look at him. See, he's acting like he's mind controlled." And somebody said that, if you're going to put on I'm too crazy to go to jail defense, then your lawyer says that's what you do. Okay? So, I mean, there's, which one are you going to pick? And if you just want to stick with the CIA, I mean, that's fine. Is this a put on? I don't know. Is this him really? And how he's acting right now? Because if it is, it's pretty strange. Well, that's a spirit. Okay. And there's bizarre behavior coming out of this guy. That's a spirit. You see, when you study devils and how they possess people from the scriptures, I mean, you see that kind of activity. You see, like, the guy at the Gadarenes, he's all got legions of devils in him. And he's running around scaring everybody and he's acting crazy. And when Jesus drives him out of him, he's sitting there and he's clothed and in his right mind. Okay? The zombies. The zombies are murdering. The people running around, biting people's faces off, and they don't have any clothes on. That was the demoniac at Gadara. That was him. He run around scaring the toots out of everybody and naked and had no clothes on and they couldn't hold him down. And finally, Jesus delivered him. And he's sitting there clothed in his right mind. And he's acting normal. Okay? You see the difference between someone possessed and someone who's got the Spirit of life and Jesus Christ in him. Okay? Revelation 9:11, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And we know according to John that the spirit of Antichrist is already working right now. I mean, it's already doing its stuff. Why wouldn't the spirit of Antichrist be involved in mass murder of any kind? I think it is. Now, does this serve a New World Order purpose? I think it does. Okay? I think it does. I have been vocal about the UN Arms Treaty. I hate it. And I hate it for a particular reason. I am not a terrorist. I have no plans on inciting anybody who watches any of our programs or any of our church services or anything like that to take up arms against the government. There's a better way of doing things according to the scripture. But if somebody was coming in my house that I didn't know, that had no right to be there, that was intending to inflict some sort of harm upon my wife or upon my children, I will use the guns that I have in my possession and I will use it against them. I will use those instruments of iron against them and I will not be murdering them. I would be defending and standing my ground over the things, the inheritance that God has given me. My wife and my children are my vineyard. They are my belongings. They belong to me. And nobody else can have them. And I'll use whatever force is necessary to make sure that nobody gets to them. I have that right given to me by God, and I have that right guaranteed me by the Constitution of the United States of America through the Second Amendment. The right of the people to keep, to be able to have them, and to bear them, which means to carry them on our person, shall not be infringed. So, our president is going to sign a treaty that would give the United Nations authority over the Second Amendment. That's bad. That's very, very, very bad. And we all get it. We all get it because we know for a fact that if an invading army wants to take over, you can't fight people who are well armed. Japan would never invade the coastline of America, because, as they said, there is a gun under every blade of grass. And right now, our greatest strength in America, since we kind of gave up the Bible a long time, the only thing we got left is guns. So let's put authority then over our weapons. I'm going to show you this from the Bible. I'm going to show you how this works from the Bible. Okay? And I'll show you the spiritual side of it. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, his coulter, his axe, and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. And 1 Samuel chapter 13 verse 22. Here's why. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. Now, I want you to understand this. Okay, I want to show you the spiritual condition that Israel had gotten itself into. They had gotten so far away from God. Now, I want you to listen to this. They had gotten so far away from this book that they were not even allowed to have a weapon. Nobody had a nobody could have a weapon, period. And if they wanted to sharpen their tools, they're just their tools for their living, for crying out loud. They had to go to the New World Order Philistines, who had domination over them. And an opposing enemy had lordship over God's people and wouldn't allow them to have any weapons. Think about it. Think about that. That's exactly what's going on. And well, now, the only people who, there were people who did have weapons. That would be Saul and Jonathan, the government. You see how it works? When America gets so far away from God, evil authority comes in and takes over, de-weaponizes us, and the only people who have any valid weapons are the government, are the people in charge. That was something that our founding fathers said would never happen in America. It's never going to happen until now. Let me show you how it's already happened. It's already happened in the church, by the way. Because we know, according to Scripture, that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but to the pulling down of strongholds. This is my sword, by the way. Okay, it's my sword. This is the weapon that I have. By the way, this is my shield of faith. Of course, this would be my helmet of salvation, too. Of course, this would be the gospel of peace that my feet are shod with. And this would be what my loins are girded about with, the truth. Okay? In fact, this is like the whole thing right here. This has been taken away. How's it been done? Take a look at this. What is this? This is a... the Greek New Testament. This is a Greek manuscript of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And one ministry after another, one denomination after another, one minister after another, one Bible college after another says, that's the real Bible right there. Now I'm going to put that back up on the screen. I want you to look at it. And then I want you to read it out loud to yourself. Just read it. Tell me what that says. You can't. And so we have preachers and teachers and Bible scholars and evangelists and everybody else in the world, radio ministries, that walk in with this set of Greek manuscripts. And they tell you, you don't have the real Bible. Put it down. And a vast majority of the church... put it down. A war's coming. A bad one. A bad, bad, nasty war is coming. And the people who are supposed to be on the front line of the battlefield, God's people, handed in all their weapons to the Philistines. Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 9. Son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, a sword. A sword is sharpened and also furbished. It is sharpened to make a sore slaughter. It is furbished that it may glitter. Should we then make mirth? It contemneth the rod of my son as every tree, and he hath given it to be furbished that it may be handled. This sword is sharpened and it is furbished to give it unto the hand of the slayer. Not only... I'm going to put this Greek manuscript up again. You know what that is? It's an unknown tongue. You don't know what it says. I could, if I worked on this, I kind of remember the letters a little bit. I could probably read this if I kind of brushed up on some of the letters. And you wouldn't know what, you wouldn't have a clue what I was saying. And you say, "Oh well, that's why I go to the I go to the concordance. I go to the lexicon because then it's what? It's translated. I already have it translated. I don't need the stupid dictionary. It's already translated right." And you see, you said, "Oh no, you got to go to the original Greek and Hebrew." Really? You can't read it. You don't read Greek and Hebrew. You don't speak it. You don't understand it. You don't have a clue what that says. So you know what you do? You go to a translation source for this Greek and Hebrew. You know what you're doing? You just doing what's already been done for you. Anyway, here's an unknown tongue. And God said he's got a sword furbished. And he's going to give it to the hands of the slayer. And so this is when we have this. You walk into a church now. And sure enough, boy, the word of God is right. You see people slain all over the floor because they didn't have any weapons against it. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 16. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. God said he created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And I'm just telling you, if you come into my house intending harm to my family, I've got weapons that I bear, and I will take care of you. I don't want to. I would probably puke my guts up if I ever had to do that. But I wouldn't hesitate to do it. Likewise, if I felt that anybody was coming into my church with a doctrine that is not this, I want you to get this. I not only can shoot a gun, my wife can outshoot me. She is better at it than I am. My wife is armed too, because you know what? It's not just going to be up to me. My wife can protect herself and defend herself if she has to. So can my 15-year-old son. He is a better shot with a rifle than I am. Okay? You know what I'm getting at? I've armed my people in my church. I've given them this sharp sword, and I told them, I said, hey, you can use this. And they can use it. And anybody who would come in my church to try to slay my people with false doctrine, they're not going to let you do it. See how it works? It's not just the New World Order people. It's been done in the church. Okay? When you understand the spirits now, then you understand the conspiracy, the real one. Not the one that the New Age people came up with. But the real conspiracy. Armies of God. We're fixing to go to war. It's Pastor Mike. I love you and I appreciate you. And if you're that guy that I was talking to, I hope you're not mad at me. Because I said that to you because of I know how it works. I know what it's like to have a nasty, filthy, vile, sinful, hell deserving heart. Got one. I just know that there's a remedy for it. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord. Say, God, give me a clean spirit. I don't want to be part of this. He'll do it. I love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.